right? Sometimes we got to handle things in a way that is responsible, but at the same time, sometimes you got to step away from certain things and then come knowing that the understanding that you're coming back. There's a conversation that's going to happen. So I think a lot of times, what happens is that we as men and women, we don't understand that sometimes different triggers and traumas, you got to allow the person to handle it their way, right? But with the understanding that they're coming back.
Cheers.
Cheers, cheers, cheers. What's up, y'all? Welcome to another great episode of the Last Rock Podcast. I am your host, Philosophical.
And I am your co-host, Jay Echo. What's good? How you feeling?
What's going on? What's going on, y'all? We have an illustrious guest, another great guest, the Ill-Advised Podcast. You know, very good people. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you for taking the time out with us today. So tell us a little bit, ill-advised, who you guys are. Give an introduction to our audience of who you guys are and also where they can find you.
Sure, you want to take this?
You're better at this part.
Yeah, but you look better doing it.
I'm Stephanie.
I'm Ray.
We have been best friends for over 20 years.
Yep.
And this is kind of just what we've always done, just our conversations, and we could sit for hours and just talk about life and all kinds of things. And I think we've always been the friends that everyone's like, you guys need your own show. So one day Ray was like, let's do it.
Let's start a podcast.
Yeah, so he's kind of the mastermind behind it.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
And we always had these kind of deep, like psychologically based questions, or conversations rather. And that kind of took off in how we wanted to do our podcast. So what we do is we take some of the questions that are posed to advice columnists out there, and we give our spin on it the way that your best friend would without a publicist. So, you know, expletives and all.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
Gotcha, gotcha. Good to hear. That's similar how our podcast kind of started. You know, ours kind of started being on the phone, having conversations, pretty much everything. Like, hey, let's put it out there. Let's put it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. As you guys, some of you guys have probably checked out, we were on their show a couple weeks ago. We had a wine tasting. Cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
So pretty much we're going to do the part two here, except we're going to call this show The Wind Down.
Nice. So I love it.
The Wind Down. So we're gonna do a continuation from their show. So we're gonna go ahead and let them kind of introduce basically a continuation from the two questions they asked. They had a third question. Unfortunately, time ran out, so we were like, hey, why don't we just do it here? So we're gonna let them, this is a first on our show, actually letting the guests ask us a question. So we're going to go ahead and let them ask their question from the previous show. So you guys go ahead.
All righty. So just a quick rundown from our show with you guys. I had pulled a couple questions just from different groups, particularly with women. And it's all kind of common questions about relationship issues or like just kind of women not fully understanding a male's perspective. And so this third question I have, is actually a super popular one. I see it in like the women's groups that I'm in, but I also see it like in real life with my friends and just all around. So, the question is, what are reasons why he pulls back or feels distant, and what are ways that, like, how do we support him through that? Or what do we do in response to that?
So I don't know if you can clarify that question. Are we talking about pullback in terms of the relationship? Are we talking about pullback in terms of maybe he's got things going on? Because I know.
Yeah, I think all around. I think you know, it's easy to pick up when your boyfriend or somebody who's a part of your life kind of starts to feel distant, or okay. just you kind of can just feel that something's off.
Okay.
Yeah, I think kind of in the context of our the last questions that Stephanie posed to us on our show,
okay.
More in terms of relationships and emotions and being able to be that vulnerable person, or that being able to show that vulnerable piece of you, and then that kind of instance where you just feel like, okay, I need to pull back, I need to kind of reel it in. You know, what's the catalyst for that? Like, what is it in you that gets triggered to stop you from or that keeps you from being more forward or more vulnerable, and instead you start to shut down and bring those walls down or put them up, right?
Yeah, yeah, amazing question. I feel like, well, first want to say I feel like sometimes we as men, I'll speak for myself and also maybe some potential men out there, we start pulling away from people and relationships based off of maybe there's some things that we didn't address before getting in this relationship that we see that we're running into while we're in a relationship, right? A lot of times what happens is that triggers happen. Traumas happen within a relationship, right? Previous relationships, current relationships, and things we try to avoid to not let those things happen again. So I think sometimes when things are said, things are done, sometimes we as people, we don't address those things at the forefront to say, hey, you know, this is what's bothering me. This is what's going on. I've dealt with this before. Also, it kind of depends on what that is, right? Something could have been said, something could have been done. And I think it's totally normal within men. I do it for myself that I shut down, right? Because I don't know how it's happened so many times to where, you know, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to express it. You know what I mean? And I know sometimes that can be tough because our partner doesn't really know what's going on. So as men, when we shut down, we want our space. We want to be away. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it because a lot of times there's a potential we might get the same answer we've always got, right? There could be a chance that a lack of vulnerability or trust to be able to let our partner in to say, hey, this is what the problem is. And I feel like all relationships go through this, all even dating, you know what I mean, go through this. Mm-hmm. Just the lack of just being vulnerable in communication and being able to talk about some of the things that have been missteps within a relationship that, you know, people don't want to really address. Men in general don't want to really address, right? And it shows a sign of maybe that could be the reason why they're jumping in and out of relationships all the time. So I would say to that, as far as a solution, right? If this relationship, if this person is worth fighting for, you know, instead of hopping in and out of relationships, instead of leaving potentially a good person, you know, right? A good situation, somebody that gives you something different than what you've had before, man, try to meet them halfway. You know what I mean? Try to, you know, kind of, I think we as men and women can gauge how that person's going to react depending on how long you've been with that person, right? If you feel like you're going to be judged or executed, like mentally, you know, verbally, from your partner, then maybe that isn't the right partner for you. And let's keep it real. I feel like sometimes, man, from on my end, no woman, no man is perfect. No matter what, no matter how much you've addressed it, I think we as people, we go through traumas. We go through triggers. It's all about how you handle it. And I'll tell you, from being married, I think the most important piece is like try not to take it out of your partner. Try to really just say, hey, is this just something I'm going through during the day? Do I need that time away? You just got to be able to address it and be able to talk about it.
So we would approach that, because sometimes it's easy for women to feel like, you know, is he losing feelings for me, or is it something I did, or is it me? If we're not aware of what's going on outside for you, it's tricky for us to kind of navigate. And then oftentimes we don't know how to approach it. We don't want to say, like, are you upset with me? Or, you know what I mean? If, because there could be, you are just stressed out. So we don't want to add to that by, you know, so I guess we don't really know how to approach that.
You know, when you let me add this too. I'm saying this from experience. I think that, you know, what you said, Phil, and what you're explaining is all well and good for people who are kind of emotionally aware, right? Or in tune. And that's great. And we all have our traumas and our triggers. But for those of us who aren't, you know, are people who actually don't necessarily associate anything with an emotional trigger, right? You may be aware of how you're feeling and who you are, but you don't recognize that you have triggers within you that could be affecting your demeanor, the way you interact with people, your relationships, et cetera, right? So, you know, me, for example, I had triggers that I didn't know I had, and that I would just start shutting down without knowing it. And I would just start disengaging without knowing it. So I can't expect my partner to know when I don't know. So when my partner brings it to me, what's my reasonable reaction, right? Am I making excuses?
Defensively, you take it defensively, potentially, right?
Yeah.
That was actually going to be, I agree with you 100%. It takes a certain level of self-awareness to be like, all right, this is, something is causing me to pull back. I wonder what it is. Like, because I can, speaking for myself in relationships that I've been in the past, it's like, all right. We all show up with what we have on the day, right? So if I'm going through something, if I'm feeling a certain type of way, if I had a rough day at work, if I'm super tired, right? Like my response to you is going to be what I am equipped for at that moment in time.
Good point.
So if I jump into if I come home from work and, you know, I've just gotten run down, I had a bad day, all of that sort of stuff, and the first thing I hear from you is, you know, and this is an aside, it's not necessarily my situation, the first thing I hear from you is, oh, hey, what's it called? Like, Johnny got in trouble at school. You know, on a good day, you know, my reaction might be, oh, well, call Johnny down and we'll sit and have a discussion about it around the dinner table and we'll figure out what's going on with Johnny. If I'm coming home from work, and I'm tired and annoyed and all that sort of stuff, my reaction isn't going to be, oh, let's sit and have a discussion. My reaction is going to be, tell Johnny to bring his behind here and we're going to talk. It's like, well, Johnny's catching hands for just because I feel a certain type of way, right? And my reaction isn't going to be the best.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same thing in a relationship where it's like, okay, you might come to me and just be like, hey, I'm feeling like you're not present at this point in time. If I'm self-aware, I can be like, yeah, I'm not, because I'm dealing with a lot of stuff at work and everything like that. And if I am not self-aware, my reaction is I go to work and I come home and I put food on the table. I do everything that you ask me to. So why are you coming to me with this? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, it's like, well, you shut down the conversation and there's no room for learning. There's no room for growth. There's no room for anything at that point. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the main solution that the only solution I can really give you is, either if you feel like the person you are with is worth the effort, try to find ways to expand that person's self-awareness. Or if you don't feel like that person is worth it, just like, hey, we have to make the better decisions about the partners we're choosing. And I think I know a lot of people don't necessarily want to hear that, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to leave this person, you know, or whatever. And a lot of people don't necessarily have the leeway to be able to do that. You know, you have kids, you're a specific situation, whatever the case may be. But it all goes back to, hey, like Phil said, were you addressing these things, or were you even noticing these things when you first got into the relationship? Because if you know, when we've all been in a place where it's like, hey, we're not having these conversations. It's just, oh, you like me too? Cool. We'll jump into a relationship. Nobody's at the beginning, nobody's really having a discussion about, oh, hey, are we, you know, what are some of your triggers? What would cause you to pull back in a relationship? What are some things that have hurt you in the past that if I did them would spark an issue? Or any, like, nobody's having that conversation. So if nobody's having a conversation, then the issues don't get addressed up front, and then people just living their lives doing what their default reaction would be, are like, they're causing pain, trauma, or repeat pain and trauma to somebody else, and they're just like, okay, I remember what this feels like, so I'm backing off. And
that's the thing that I kind of have an issue with relationships that just exist on the surface, right? Because there is no meaningful connection. There's nothing deep. Like, everything that you were just saying is very indicative, like, of a healthy relationship, mm-hmm. right? And so it's indicative of that kind of partnership that you have too, not just the relationship, not just the interactions, but the other person on the other side. So whether you're in the way that you're communicating it, whether you're receiving the communication or giving the communication, that response, like you said earlier, like, you know, Johnny's going to get a backhand, or, you know, Johnny, let's talk, you know, and then Johnny, how Johnny receives it. Exactly. On the other side of it too, you know, Johnny's like, no, you're going to get a backhand back, or I'm going to give you a backhand anyway, because I'm defensive, or, like, you know what I mean? You split into these multitudes, and that gets us into different conversations that we're not, like, we don't have time for, you know,
exactly. Man, poor Johnny.
I mean, and I feel like Phil, like, we had a conversation with a gentleman named Dwayne Bumpus. He wrote a book called How I Raised Four Successful Black Boys. Or was it Black Boys or Black
Black Sons?
Black Sons. Okay, yeah. And one of the things that we discussed in our conversation was, he was very intentional when he started dating. I believe he already had two sons of his own when he started dating the woman who ultimately became his wife. And I think he had one and she had one. I can't remember how it broke out.
Okay.
I apologize, Blaine. But essentially, when he went into the relationship, he was very intentional about the fact, he was like, hey, when I come in, I'm not dating just you, I'm also dating your children. So I want them involved in this process from the beginning. So then they know how I am, they get a sense of how I interact, how I respond to things, everything like that. So then when stuff like this does come up, they can know it's coming from a place of love or frustration or whatever the case may be. So, like, as you are getting to know me, your children are getting to know me. And, you know, and they built that relationship, and it became this beautiful thing that sparked a book, and all four of his sons are successful, doing amazing things. And it's like, all right, if you start from a healthy place, then it trickles down, as opposed to if you start from an unhealthy place, then it spirals outward and everybody's catching it.
So, you know, I think the closing remarks of it is that pretty much, you know, let's be real, when you're dating someone, they're going to be triggers and traumas, right? There are a lot of things that we as people, we're human, you know, we're not really addressing all the time, you know. That reflection time that you're taking, it's pretty tough to address everything, because if you were, you've pretty much reached damn near perfection, right? So I think, you know, as far as those traumas and triggers, you know, they're going to happen in relationships. They're going to happen in dating. They're going to happen when you're married. Hopefully it goes back to, you know, if you can trust your partner by communicating and addressing these things the right way, and not saying that pulling away is not going to happen, because there are, I know for me, I pulled away from my now wife, because sometimes, man, it's just, it can be a lot. It can be tough, right? Not saying there's an understanding that if I pull away, I'm coming back, right? Sometimes we got to handle things in a way that is responsible, but at the same time, sometimes you got to step away from certain things and then come, knowing that the understanding that's that you're coming back. There's a conversation that's going to happen. So I think a lot of times what happens is that we as men and women, we don't understand that sometimes different triggers and traumas, you got to allow the person to handle it their way, right? But with the understanding that they're coming back. That's one. Two, the other thing is that sometimes traumas and triggers, I think there's a lack of understanding, and I'm learning this every day myself, being married, seeing my wife every day, living with her every day, is the fact that not everything and not all traumas and triggers is about your partner, right? Sometimes we have a hard day at work. Sometimes there's a lot of things in our mind outside of our partner. Sometimes, you know, we as men, we got so many ideas, failure, success, career, you know, whatever. Right.
Can you talk to my boyfriend, please?
give him the link to the show.
We have those interactions a lot. You know, I'm very introspective. So when I realize something's off, it's not just talk about it for me. Like, I got to stop. I got to think about it. Why is this bothering me? Is it worth feeling what I'm feeling? Is it a me thing or is it a him thing? You know, we don't get a chance in our relationship to actually like think and react. You know, we're okay. Both like so far up each other's, you know, what's that we're just like, are you all right? You doing all right, babe? Is everything okay? Yes, I'm fine. I woke up this morning and that's the problem. And I shouldn't have been this cranky, you know? And sometimes it's just as plain and simple as that, you know?
Yeah.
But we also need time to process ourselves so that we can articulate what we're feeling, if we're feeling something that needs to be articulated.
And as a man, you know, being a married man, you know, I just, some things I don't understand what women go through or what they're thinking, what they're saying, how they're feeling. None of those things. It's very confusing to me. And sometimes I have to take a step back to say, now I'm learning, like, it's not about me. You know, this ain't about me. It has nothing to do with me. It has, you know, like, all right, sometimes I have to let her kind of, all right, she'll be back. You know what I mean? But it's very hard sometimes. It's very hard to do that. You know what I mean? Because it's like, why can't you tell me what the problem is? Or like, man, you know, why can't I buy my way out of this? Or like, man, why can't, you know what I mean?
That's the you problem, right?
That's like, the me that's, problem.
That's the you problem. Like, I can't take it when someone's mad at me, or I can't take, but that's you just translating Correct. And taking it Correct. Personally and not just waiting for the problem Correct. To be brought to you.
Correct. Correct. So I feel like, you know, as far as closing remarks for this, I think, you know, understanding it's not about you sometimes. Understanding that, you know, when you have something on your mind, being able to trust your partner or communicate that is you got to have that. And if you don't, then, you know, you've got some deeper issues you probably need to address. Yeah. So we'll kind of go into our second question here. We're kind of going into a new season here. So kind of some new topics for us. So we want to kind of go into online dating. And I know this is something that Jay is doing. I'm off the market, so I'm not even, you know, it's not even on my radar. But I remember a time that it was at one point years and years ago. I understand the frustration with online dating coming from Jay. I don't know if you guys have had some, you know, experience with this. But as far as like, you know, using online platforms, right? I equate that to sometimes, you know, if you're on multiple dating platforms, you know, that means you're talking to multiple people at a time, right? How much energy, how much effort, how much, like, you know, what do you tell to people that, you know, potentially can handle that, and also being able to focus on finding their right person? We'll start with you guys, since, you know, you're the guest.
So, My experience with online dating and the apps is going to be vastly different.
Okay. Okay. Let's hear it.
It's so dating culture for gay men is what has been historically what dating culture is now, like that hookup culture.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, okay, it's hookup culture. Like this is new. Yes, this is a new, yeah. Like, but that's always been kind of like the LGBT culture as far as my experience goes. Okay. So to me, it was just like, oh, now you guys are experiencing this. Like, welcome to my club. It's impossible okay. to find somebody. And okay. every single dating app turns into a hookup app. Right. Yeah. So yeah. I don't care if you're on Tinder, you're on Bumble, like the 5 million apps that are out there, Grindr, even Facebook dating, it turns into a hookup app because the standards have changed. You know, before people used to hold out and just be like, okay, sex is going to be like the third, fourth, fifth, whatever date. You know what I mean? Okay. But now people are like, let's weed out the unnecessary, you know, BS. If you're not good at it, I don't want to go to date number two. So that's just become the culture. It's become more acceptable, I think, in my opinion, to just be more free sexually. Okay. And so that makes dating a lot harder because you're literally just trying to field suitors.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that notion that like, let's skip the BS. Let's no point to go on a third or fourth date. And I don't know how the car runs. So should I just test drive the car first and then go on dates? Like, do you agree with this? Do you feel
I am a useless romantic. I am okay. absolutely useless when it comes okay. to hookup culture.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I call it cancel culture. I feel like, that's the main thing, right? You know, hookup culture, right? You know, if the hookup is bad, you're getting ghosted. You know what I mean? If the hookup is not good, but the date was okay, you know, potential of like getting you a second chance, right? And I feel like people are canceling out right away.
Well, quickly. Let's get realistic.
Okay.
It's like sex is a really important part of a relationship, or even if you're just courting someone, you want to be, and I'm not defending this and I don't have a stance one way or the other, to be completely honest with you. I think okay. I know what works for me and what all works for us, and that's it. But
correct.
Do we want to be in a relationship where we have to teach our partner, if they're receptive to learning, what I like and how I like it?
You know what I mean? A lot of it is subjective though.
So here's the one thing I will, and you know, this may be slightly different for the LGBTQ community than it is for, you know, cishet community. But like, let's be real about it. We're here now already anyways. We're talking about hookup culture. There are a lot of people who don't necessarily, they don't, they're having a lot of bad sex. Let's just be real. There are a lot of people out there who are having a lot of bad sex. And the reason they are having a lot of bad sex is because they are not actually, it goes back to self-awareness. Like, that and it also goes back to what your goal is in the interaction, right? Like, we're talking about dating in general. Most people, or at least what I've seen, is when you go into dating, you're trying to figure out what you can get out of the situation, as opposed to
what you can add.
What you can add and what you guys can build together, right?
Okay.
Most people are going into the situation just like, especially now because it is hookup culture, it's like, all right, let me get mine, and then we'll figure out the rest after the fact, right?
So you feel like the building part is way down the line?
The building part is way down the line.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So okay. Like most people, when they're going into a date, a sexual encounter, whatever the case may be, the first thing is, all right, these are my goals. How can I achieve my goals in the most efficient way possible? And if your goals and priorities are not set in the right place, then it's like, all right, you're attractive, cool. What do I have to do to get you into the bed so we can figure out if I'm interested in pursuing this further down the line, as opposed to working the other way, which is, all right, we are compatible. We have chemistry. It doesn't seem like you're a serial killer. All righty. Mm. Now let's figure out if we have that sexual chemistry on the other side of it.
So it's almost like what you're saying is the performance in the bedroom is kind of like that key to say, okay, yeah, I'll let you in. You know what I mean? You know, I'll let you in.
Yeah, but like I said, we're hustling backwards. You know, like,
are we?
I feel like we are, because like, let's be real about it. There are some folks, and I'm sure all of us can, we're being honest with each other. Yeah. All of us can admit that there are some folks who have rocked our worlds that we had no business being in a relationship with.
Amen.
Cheers to that.
Dope. But I ain't taking you home to mom. We ain't going out nowhere. It's just, hey, hit me up at 11 o'clock at night when you're by yourself, and we will figure the rest out some other time.
And I think that's different, though, because that, you know, that person is not bring home to mom material. You know, that person is not my future material. So I don't think it's dating at that point. I think it's like, but, let's bang, like, get out.
But I will say this, right? Let's be real. Those are some of the reasons why people are getting married. One night stands. You know what I mean? There are marriages.
Maybe in Vegas.
Yeah.
No. I think if we had a poll or audience here right now, I think there would be a small percentage, maybe like 2-4%, saying like, "Hey, I got married just off of the sex, nothing else."
I don't.
We'll figure out the rest later.
I agree and disagree.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
I know for me and a lot of other women that I know, it's because it is such a hookup culture, and because most dating platforms, the majority of men that we run into are just wanting hookups. I think for me and a lot of girls I know, it becomes like, oh my God, the second he makes, like, even if we have a great conversation for the first interaction, the second he makes, you know, a little sexual pun or turns anything sexual, even if it's like a slightest bit, it's like immediate turnoff. Like, you just want to hook up, and then it's on to the next.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask this for the men out there, right? And sorry to cut you off. I think this is a very, do you, my wife has said that. You know what I mean? My wife has said the same thing, right? So do you feel like there's a time and frame, time and place for that?
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of men don't understand that.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
Okay, good, good.
I will jump in, and I won't say defend men in this instance, but I will say I will rationalize what exactly is going on there.
Right?
The reason I'm smirking is because I've had this conversation a couple times, and most women I've had the conversation with are surprised. Don't get me wrong, there are a subsection of men who are out here just in these streets doing whatever they want, like living the life, all of that sort of thing. I'm not going to disagree with any woman who has encountered that. I'm not going to fight anybody on that. None of that. But there are also a good portion of men for whom they are not as sexually active as I think most women believe them to be. I think every woman sees, like, a lot of women will see a man and believe, like, oh, he's just out here in these streets. The fact that he's even on a date with me is like, I'm the fourth, fifth, sixth woman he's been on a date with, right? Mm-hmm.
You think women think that? Women are thinking that?
Yes. Men think that.
Yes.
Men really? Think that. Like, yes. Look at her. Look at those hoop earrings. Like, we've come with
that's true.
Our mentality.
That we've is come true. With that our is
predisposed
true.
Notions, you know?
That is like, true. That is true.
I see you. I know what you're doing, and I know what you're all about, and I'm down for it, because the girl that I'm going to take to meet mom, she's scheduled for tomorrow night.
Exactly. And that's the thing. right? Like we will show up in the situation with our preconceived notions about who the person is and about what XYZ signal means, which is why I can understand why certain people will say, oh, you're signaling this when you do X, Y, and Z. But at the same time, it's like, you don't know if that's actually the person.
Well, that's where I was going, because I feel like we miss out on a lot of good guys because the second there's a slight sexual anything, we're just, nope, you're just like the rest of them.
And that's funny because when I hear something like that, I'm like, oh, we have the same sick sense of humor. Like, we're going to get along just fine.
Exactly.
Like, and I don't think of an advanced, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not just the perception though, because this is like, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
You're going to perceive how you perceive reality, it. Though.
Perception is reality. I'm glad you said that, but I'm going to let Stephanie finish. I'll say this. I will say the smart men, the good men, they know within the first 15 minutes of looking at a woman, who she is, what she's about, and how far they're taking her.
Now
they already know. They already know. I said the good, the smart.
You think
men.
You know?
There we go.
I think.
Go Biff. Get him, Biff. Get him, Biff.
Because I mean, to a man, right? Externally, the way she looks is it shows a certain. You know what I mean? It shows a certain aura. Right. If she's coming in there like everything's tight, the hoop earrings, you know what I mean? From the minute she walks in the door, the man is like, oh, I got this. I already know. He already has his plan. He already has his blueprint. And I feel like women sometimes, you know what I mean? They feel like, I mean, and I'm just the outsider looking at it, but by all means, I'm just telling you what a lot of men are telling me, right? Men know a woman's intentions from the first 10 to 15 minutes she walks in the door.
No, you don't.
You don't think so?
No, you don't.
I respectfully disagree.
How could you possibly know?
Wow.
Just because my jeans are tight or my cleavage is showing, you know my intentions.
So that's where I was. That's the next thing I was
going to say. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
We
I want to
come
hear this.
In with our assumptions of what the other party is looking for. Meanwhile, because we all, and you know, these are all mechanisms, these are defense mechanisms, these are instincts, these are all of these other things that are designed to protect us from foolishness and danger, right? But like, for instance, Phil, you're talking about, oh, a woman walks in with a little tight black dress and it's like, oh, I know what she's about.
Yeah, you know, but because of a man.
The other side of it is like, and I'll speak from my personal perspective, right? Like, I've been in situations where I've seen a woman across the room and been like, oh, she's bad. And then my next thought was like, but she knows she's bad. She knows what she's doing. And on top of that, I'm pretty sure there are like 15 men who have already tried to holler at her. So I'ma chill over here and I'ma do my own thing. Meanwhile, and I've heard this from women just as well as, you know, women too, we don't know on the other side, like, actually no man has walked up to her and actually said anything to her for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
She's out here because she felt like looking nice because she wanted somebody to come up and say something. But
that's where I'm getting at. That's where I'm getting at.
So I think,
but that's where perception is reality becomes my reality is different from your reality, and your reality is your problem, and my reality is my problem.
Exactly. And the
I agree with that. I agree with that. But I will say
we're mixing up our, like, because we come in with our preconceived notions, we miss out on so much because we haven't. And obviously this requires a certain level of vulnerability that a lot of people aren't willing to give, a lot of people aren't willing to show, right?
And I'm so glad you said that, because that goes back to the original question. These are the reasons we swipe left and swipe right.
Okay.
You know, we are absolutely basing it on superficial BS. Exactly. We're literally looking at it and be like, oh, she doesn't look like baby mama material. She's got hoop earrings. Oh, he's wearing baggy pants and a backwards cap. can't do it. Oh, he's repping New York Yankees, not Boston Red Sox. Like, this is the kind of crap that this is what we pay attention to.
I 100% agree with that, but I think it's because I think people give those BS, like swipe right, swipe left, like perceptions, is because they feel they've dealt with it. We like going back to triggers and traumas. They've dealt with it before. They've experienced this type of person before. They've gone through this before. So it's like, oh, I'm not doing that again. Swipe left.
You know, goes back to your thing where it's like now we feel like we're missing out on something because we don't know what we're doing. Is we're basing it off an instinct that might not necessarily be founded in the first place.
And that's where I came in and said men know, because why, they've experienced it before. Right. They've experienced this type of woman. Oh, I've already gone through this before. This is all she wants.
That's the thing. We don't know who that type of woman
is. Correct.
You know, we don't know that he really likes the Yankees.
I'm sorry. Say that one more time, Stephanie.
You know, to the extent of your experience.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Right. A lot of times we as men, we get that knowledge and it stays with us. And that's it.
I think that's universal.
It's universal.
Okay. But I want to hear Stephanie's. She was making comments before I cut her off. Sorry. I know we got kind of.
Well, I think we've kind of been going through what I was getting at. Is that it's hard for us to. We don't know the difference from the good guy that just makes the comment, a sexual comment, versus the guy that's out here to sleep with us. We don't know that in the very beginning. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, in the beginning, okay, go ahead.
No, so just in the beginning, this, as soon as a sexual comment's made, you're grouped in with the rest of them. We don't know, you know what I mean? Because we experience a lot of guys just looking to hook up.
Okay.
You're just kind of grouped in with the rest of them. We don't really know, like, all right, unless it's, you know what I mean? You can kind of respond in a playful way to like let them know that you didn't love that comment. Okay. Okay. And a good guy will, you know, he'll recorrect and that's it. But immediately it's just like, next.
Yes.
So what do you say to those? I'm glad. I think that's good advice. What do you say to those men and women that are potentially missing out on someone that may have said a sexual innuendo comment? What do you say? Do you tell them like, hey, maybe this is what he used to say, fill him out a little bit? What do you say to those people? If someone came to you and said, hey, I like him, but I don't like what he said, I'm thinking of not going further or going further. What advice would you give to someone like that?
That's tricky because for me, I know it's hard to come back from that.
Okay.
The second you make that comment and I feel like you're just like everybody else trying to hook up, it's hard for me to come back from that. But I do use like banter and like playful and like, you know, I'll make a little joke back. I'm serious, but I'll say it playfully to like let you know that like I don't love that. You know what I mean?
Okay. And it's up to him how he reacts, him or her, or how they react. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But let's be honest, like men are the same way. Like going back to a little bit of the discussion we were having earlier, like a woman will say something, a woman will do something, and in the same way that we can be, I mean, Stephanie is being very gracious and honest with our men and saying, hey, if this happens, it is an immediate turnoff and I have immediately lumped you into this category. The same thing happens with men. We will see a woman in X dress, or we will see a woman in X situation.
Yeah.
And we will immediately Ray made the point earlier. We will immediately lump him or her into the category of, oh, I'm not taking you to meet my family. I will take you home, but I'm not taking you to meet my family. or whatever the case may be. And, you know, if we're being honest with each other, we're all constantly doing that categorization. Like it happens, like women will say, oh, I hear a comment and I'm immediately there. Like you said, Phil, for men, it'll happen within like 10 to 15 minutes after we see you. And we'll just be like, oh, I'm not sure if, you know, let's be real about it, Phil. We've had conversations about women talking to I'm not sure where I want to take this.
Oh,
now
yeah. Yeah.
we've we luckily were both self-aware enough to be like, well, let me actually have a conversation with her, or let me actually, you know, sit and talk with her and decide, like, okay, based on these things, this is what. And like I said, it takes you moving past that swipe left, swipe right mentality. It takes you moving to, all right, yes, the initial visual or the surface level things, I will swipe right. I will swipe right all day. But that swipe right is not the key to my bedroom. That swipe right is the key to a conversation. That swipe right is the key to, hey, let's see if we are compatible enough to take this any further. And I think I've said a couple times, I rarely do I agree with Steve Harvey, but one of the things he said in what's it called, in that book he wrote, Think Like a Man. One of the things he said was the, I think it was either the 90-day rule or the 3-day rule. I can't
remember. 90, I think it's a 90-day rule.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Which is, this is something he said to women. It was like, hey, once you meet a man, start a clock. 90 days, you are not sleeping with that man. Mm-hmm. Because in 90 days, most men will fall off. Either that, or they will reveal their true character or their true intentions after 90 days. Because talking to somebody for longer than, like me personally, talking to somebody for longer than three weeks is a lot at times. It's like, yo, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of all of this. Yeah. But talking to somebody for 3 months, if I'm talking to you for 3 months and I haven't gone anywhere, oh, I'm here, right? I'm trying to figure out where this goes. I'm trying to figure out if this is something important, right? And it's not fun, which is the hard part, because, and I'm finding this out through conversations I'm having too, like there are just as many women who will look at a man and be like, yeah, I want to take you home, as there are men who will look at a woman and be like, oh yeah, we can do this right now. But then that other part of it has to kick in, because they're like, and Stephanie, I you can jump in and agree or disagree if you like, but most women have specific, you've already said it, but most women have specific things where it's like, yay or nay immediately. Mm-hmm. And but there are also certain things where it's like, oh, that's a no, but it's a yes for this evening, right? Like, I probably won't call him again, but he can come home, he can spend the night.
That's not exclusive though. Like, I think that's all of us,
exactly.
You know? And this kind of, you know, I wanted to circle back to a point that you made earlier real quick, you know, going beyond that swipe left and swipe right, we have an online persona that doesn't match who we really are.
Yeah.
It exists, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if you're just like posting pictures of your kids, or if you're, you know, somebody who's very demure and put together and who's like posting pictures with your friends at like getaways and you're fully clothed, versus someone who's on a boat all the time just wearing short shorts and nothing else. Like, we all have an online persona, and that's what we're basing these swipes off of. And there's more pressure there, right? You have a lot more pressure today than you did if you met somebody at a bar in your natural surroundings, being exactly who you are at all times, and now you're trying to live up to these new expectations that you put on yourself.
I agree,
you know. So that's just, and I'm sorry, I know this is a little bit off topic. I just wanted to touch base on that.
No, like, that's perfect. Perfect. No,
this go is, ahead. That's a big part of our culture today. Call it hookup culture, cancel culture, call it favoritism, call it, you know, unconscious bias, discrimination, whatever it is. We all have our preferences. We all have what makes us tick. We all have what's going to turn us the hell off. You know I have them. Yeah. And it's the second I'm talking to somebody and they say like, he, or yeah, And I'm like, oh, swipe left, you know. Like, articulate, but that doesn't mean anything. That's my bad.
Right.
I know that's my bad, but that's just a turnoff for me. So it's being able to like be really self-aware about that too. But gauging another person doesn't exist anymore. No. Not until that first date, mm-hmm. maybe second, even third. You know, you don't know who you're dating until you're dating them.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it's hard enough being human and dating. It just gets harder when you have to be a human, a persona, and then date.
Yeah.
You know, how do I live up to who I am on social media? Because that's who you see. You know, we push out a different image. I push out that I'm, you know, this like person who's like very confident and very like set on fitness and, you know, for all intents and purposes could sometimes be seen as an F-boy, but like, I'm not that person. Mm. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm absolutely not. I'm an old school romantic. I am 100% self-conscious. I go to therapy. I work on myself every single day because that's like, I'm very self-conscious and I know the outside world is going to see me how I see me. That's not the case for everybody on these apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're swiping left, you could be swiping left on the, you know, somebody who's 100% like aware and could give you the world, but you're too busy wanting to swipe right on the narcissist who's showing you who they think they are, or who you think they are.
Yeah.
And that also speaks to you articulated it a lot better than I did, but that speaks to the idea I was trying to bring up earlier, where we walk in to a situation and like women will hear a man make a sexual comment and be like, oh, obviously he's just interested in sex.
Yeah, that's meanwhile, what I was playing off of going backwards.
Yeah, but meanwhile, and this is the conversation I've been having with a lot of my female friends and associates, it's like, what you don't know is that there are a lot of men who, like, they haven't had a sexual encounter in months and even years. They haven't even spoken, like they haven't even been in a dating context with a woman for months or even years. So the fact that this woman decides, like she is the first one to say yes. It's like, all right, cool. How much of a yes is this, right? Is this a yes to everything, or is this a yes to we can have dinner, or on the like on the more sort of depressing side of it, or is this just a yes to I need somebody to pay for my dinner this evening, so I'll go out with him? Like, all of that is going on in the guy's head, but most women will assume like, oh, he's just here for the sex. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, there's like we in the same way that women come in with their insecurities and their baggage and their men, we come in with that same stuff. It's just that we are most of the time, not always, but most of the time, we are a lot less aware of that baggage, and we are not addressing it anywhere near as effectively as honestly as I think I've seen women address theirs, I would say.
Or we don't think it's relevant.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I don't think my mental state's relevant to this first date. So,
no. Yeah.
You know, see you later. Let's just, you know, have this first date and I'll introduce you to my friends at the loony bin. Like, it's not necessarily, you know, and that wasn't to be PC, you know, non-PC. It was on purpose to just say, like, you know, we're not necessarily always in tune with ourselves to be able to push out that real image of us. You know, like somebody who says like family is everything, but like really you see your family once a year, like you put that out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. You know,
I will say this, online dating, I feel like you made a good point, Ray, that there's this sense of you know, social media in correlation with online dating is that there's a sense of, man, this person is displaying perfection. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm a family guy. Oh yeah, I love to travel. Oh yeah, you know, I love going to the lakes and long walks on the beach and you know, nice things and going on 5-star restaurants. But
what matters is what you think, and you need to think I'm important and perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
no
also,
matter what I think.
Correct. And also, yeah, exactly. We're basically painting a picture of getting someone to make look at me differently than other people look at me. Basically. When really, in reality, I'm in the house all day. I'm a gamer. You know what I mean? I go to work 9 to 5 and then I come home. You can't pay me to go travel. You know what I mean? Five star, you know, let's try 3.5. Arby's or Applebee's or Chili's.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like we're trying to attract a certain image and get someone's attention. But then when they get to know us, you know what I mean? It's not who we really are. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like a gotcha game. Like, all right, you know, hey, you're out fishing. I'm throwing out the bait. Let's see what I can catch today. Well, but in reality, this is not who we are, right? And let's keep it real. 3 months from now, you're talking to someone, you get to know each other. You know, things change. People change. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Dating changes. You know, your everyday life changes. Whether you're taking them home to meet the family or not. You know, if you're talking to somebody for 3 months, things are going to change. We talked through the show, like within the first 3 to 6 months, you should know. You know what I mean? Like who this person is. If it's not, then you either decide this is what I'm looking for on a long-term basis or it's not. Point blank. So I think a lot of times is that online dating and social media, like Ray, and I'm glad you made that point, is that we're painting a perception of perfection. And that's just not who we are. It's borderline lying, right? It's something called catfish out there. Catfish, same thing. We're painting a perception of perfection based off of who we look like, you know, who we are, you know what I mean, to the internet. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, because that's what we see. We see Cindy, the Instagram model, in her perfect body, in her bikini. She's getting all the attention, all the likes, all the comments.
Yep.
But I post a picture with my four-year-old and I'm in my mom gear. I get 12 likes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But here's the other thing that I think we all need to take into account. Those 12 likes that you got, those are probably the 12 people you need to be targeting in terms of potential partner.
We don't think about that.
Exactly.
Even though we know we're drawing the wrong attention.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was talking.
Are you guys talking to me right now? Like, what the hell's going on?
I'll talk to everybody.
Every show, Ray says this, man. He did this on their show. Like, man, you guys are talking to me again.
It's true, because like, there are a lot of things that can resonate with me here and there. But like, I've been in that part where I'm like, oh, I want to be a little thoughty today, you know? And I'm like, that number's not going up fast enough.
Ray, you are not the only. You are not the only man. You are not the only person who has been like, you know what? I was in the gym all week. So, all right, this picture better get some likes from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes those pictures are for me and for nobody else, you know? Like, and I'll go ahead and I'll post it just because I'm proud of me. Like that's been my routine lately. It's just been, like, me doing accountability for myself. Like it, don't like it.
But that's the one that gets all the likes.
That's the one that gets all the likes.
When you post your normal one, you got 4 likes, and it's like, oh.
The picture I posted with my kid and my boyfriend the other day, it's like, I don't know, it's low on the number as opposed to me showing, like...
Leg day.
Yeah.
I need to take some notes. Maybe I should go do some leg days.
No, don't do that. Not for likes.
I know.
Ray, I think you're touching on it. It's like, what is your intention when you post it? Mm-hmm. Is it, this is for me, or is it, this is for the gram, basically, for attention, for likes, for whatever.
Yeah.
Because I can say, I'm about to put my own self on blast, and
please
I apologize to nobody. but you're aware of this because you followed my own Instagram page. My old Instagram was a long list of women I had no business following. I didn't have no business following them nowhere. Right.
That's my Twitter.
Like, if you scrolled through my IG, my old IG, it was legs, behind, it's just like a long list of this, and it's just like, this ain't one, this isn't me, because I know good and well when I'm just living my everyday life, I'm not thinking about this 24/7. I'm more than likely thinking, what am I going to watch on Netflix, or what restaurant am I going to eat at? That's more than likely where my head is. If you looked at my social media, it would not look like that. If you looked at my social media, it would be like, oh, he is a sex addict at this point. Like, I don't know what's going on with this guy right here. But it's like, it's exactly that. I was on IG for something specific, which was, I was there for, hey, I just need a distraction. Oh, she looks nice. Oh, she looks nice. Oh, she looks nice. Oh, she looks nice. And then before you know it, you're 3 hours in. You don't
Following
know
2,000
where
people.
exactly, following 2,000 people, and you're just like, y'all ain't really saying nothing. It's just, okay, I guess this is what it is. And
I mean, that dress looks good
exactly.
on you.
And we also don't consider the fact that, I mean, like you said, Ray, she spent 15 minutes deciding on the right angle, deciding on the right lighting, deciding on the right. This isn't, she didn't wake up like this. No matter what she said, she ain't wake up like this. She spent 3 hours doing her makeup. She spent another 15 minutes choosing the angles, and then she spent another 20 minutes deciding what was the right filter. And that's what you get. And then you'll send her a DM and be like, hey, you're the perfect woman. Come through, and I want you to meet my mom. It's like, bro, that's not how this works. That's not.
Hello.
And yeah, I
But
mean,
also from the same aspect, you just said your old, what was that, Instagram?
yeah,
You
on Instagram.
followed all kinds of women that you had no business following. So
Exactly.
then you go and message the everyday woman, and she sees all these follows.
And I've set myself
I
up
don't
for
want
failure.
nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
So, closing remarks is perception is reality, but that reality is actually who you really are to you. So, be very careful how you introduce yourself to the online presence versus the real you. So we're gonna go ahead and close this off. Pretty much there's a section that, a lot of our guests love. We're gonna call it the wrap it up session here. So, ill-advised, you guys have got the floor. That's where we basically get 3 to 5 minutes to tell the audience the gems of pretty much, what they can take from you, how they can find you. So, ill-advised, you've got the floor.
Oh, I was like, you're gonna put us on the spot. Like, I was like, great,
Yeah.
I'm ready. Rapid fire questions. Let's do this. No, you want me to talk about myself? What the hell? Like, I don't know.
Where they can find us?
Where can you find
A
us? You can
podcast?
do that too. Yeah,
Yeah, you can
that's
do that too. You can do that too. This is where
Oh,
you
well.
can. This is your direct line to speak to the audience from you to them.
Hello, Let's Rap audience.
This is their
A
online
very white voice.
persona.
I love
this is my online persona, or is it my
that.
Antonio Banderas voice? I don't know which one it is. No, I, you know, we're fascinated by all things psychology, and we would love for someone to challenge us, really. And we have a good listener base. We'd love to grow it. We'd love to hear different perspectives because it's so important for us personally, to understand different sides of it. I think we align on some things and on a lot of things we don't, but we don't know the in-betweens. So it'd be wonderful for us to one day, like have, I would even say like a panel where it was like a healthy debate on some of the questions that we tackle. Like we don't, some of them are we pick because there's a laugh or because there's like a good question to have behind it, like a good discussion that we could have behind it. But they never pan out to be what we want them to be. So I've got to shift gears right there on the spot,
So sorry not to interrupt, but we need to talk about what's it called? The echo chamber. So let's yeah, that's sort of what I want it to be. So yeah. Sorry yes. to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I definitely wanted to talk about that with you too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm lost now. We're to this. You're not. No, it's not. It's not you. It's my brain. It's not working right now. It's gone.
No, so I think that's what we love having you guys so much, because we're able to do, you know what I mean? You guys are very open to like, no, I don't agree, or this is how we feel, or this is how I see it, or, you know, and that's what we really love. And that's what, like, even when we're answering our questions that we see on the other, what are those called? Advice columns.
Still don't know.
Him and I still will do that with each other. Like, he'll answer something and I'm like, I don't know. And then I'll answer my response. And then it turns into like, yeah, all right. Like, I can see where you're coming
it's
from.
It's like
now,
a healthy debate.
Yeah.
And we would love to have that with the world. Like, we want people to chime in, because there are some, we don't understand everything. We understand what we know. Mm. You know, and we're not exposed to every facet of the world. So this is why our podcast exists. It exists. I mean, it started so that we could spend time together, but, you know, it exists for that reason. You know, I think it's especially fascinating when, you know, on our show, we read the column, we give our response, and then we give the columnist's response. I think it's more telling or more authentic feeling for me, at least, when we don't match up with the columnist. Mm-hmm. You know, when we go up against the pros and we're like, no, what were you on when you wrote this response? Yeah. Like, you know, or sometimes we're just like, oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that. And we would love that to be more on, you know, on a live basis. So
okay,
as far as where you can find us, wherever you listen to your podcasts, mm-hmm. or online at illadvisedpodcast.com.
Okay.
On the social medias, Facebook, Instagram,
okay,
and TikTok, Ill Advised the Podcast.
Okay, so make sure you guys definitely follow them, as they said, on TikTok, man. Amazing TikTok, man. They're always having fun. They're always drinking wine. You know, Ray is always, I call it the Ray of Sunshine.
Love it.
I got to trademark that. I feel like they're going to use it.
Okay. I love it.
I got to trademark that. You know, make sure you guys follow them on Instagram. Yeah, you know, very cool, very good people. Man, when they messaged us on Instagram, man, we were just so surprised and so energetic. And I feel like, man, it's brought a different energy to this show that definitely need it. Make sure, like I said, I'm pretty sure you guys are transitioning over to YouTube too, correct? Or already there?
We're starting little by little. It takes a lot of work. Managing a podcast is way too much work for very, very little return.
Okay.
No, it's a lot of work, but we're getting there. But thank you for this. I think that this is like, you know, you being on our show and allowing us to come and speak on yours. It's it's a great beginning of a wonderful partnership, because the conversations have been so far absolutely stellar.
Yes. Well, I think this is going to have to be a part three. I think we never be able to finish our questions or conversations. So definitely a part three. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube. Like I said, Let's Rap Podcast, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook page. Man, really appreciate all the support, you guys. Make sure just a little bit of a thing. We're going to be featured in a couple magazines coming up soon. So that's really exciting. Really appreciate you guys for that. You guys to continue supporting the audience. You guys continue comments and encouragement, and really appreciate all our guests starting this new season. Any final thoughts, Jay?
We are in the process of trying to see what live events will look like for us.
Yep.
We haven't set anything in stone, but we're going to be trying a couple of new things this season. So keep an eye out for that. I already sort of teased that I'm trying to get Ill-Advised on to the Echo Chamber.
Yeah, Echo Chamber. Echo Chamber is not canceled, y'all. Just,
I am just slacking, and I apologize. There have been a lot of life transitions over the past few months for me. And I'm trying to get everything back on.
We'll definitely schedule that. I'll make sure that kind of happens. Like I said, we're definitely going to do some traveling, do some in-person shows with guests. Hopefully we can do with Ill-Advised, come to where they're at. That'd be you know, awesome. Jamie Woods. Perfect. Yeah. So
where are you? You're late.
I know. We'll be there in 10 minutes. So you know, that's coming down the pipeline. I know that's heavily requested for some people. So make sure you guys like, share, subscribe. Really appreciate you guys. I'm Philosophical from the Let's Rock Podcast.
And I'm Jay Echo.
Peace, y'all.
Take it easy.
Look, man, appreciate you guys having me. Shout out to y'all, man. And yeah, I'm happy to be here, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, man. You guys are doing amazing things.
Good, man. We're doing good. I see you guys looking great.
Well, I appreciate y'all for having me out, taking y'all time and promoting positive black image.